Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Authorities in the Canadian territory of Yukon allege Rodney Baker, a former gaming executive, and his wife, Ekaterina, from Vancouver, chartered a plane to a tiny community shortly after arriving in the Yukon, and allegedly, posing as local workers, received a vaccine they weren't entitled to.
Some people may not be honest about their age or their occupation, and some have gotten the shot before it's really their turn.
It's a question many Americans are grappling with. I'm not eligible for the vaccine yet. Can I hunt for a surplus dose? It's tricky.
The vaccine rollout is making admirable advances across the country, but it hasn't been without some missteps along the way. And with the shots still in such high demand, some well-connected people have found loopholes to get shots sooner than they're supposed to. Others, having grown frustrated or anxious, have resorted to some creative and sometimes dishonest ways to get their vaccine shots as well.
Oh, there are people who lie about their medical condition. There are people who bribe their doctor to get a phony certificate that they've got something. There's plenty of bad behavior. Cheating, lying, sneaking around.
That's Art Kaplan. He's a director of bioethics at New York University's Grossman School of Medicine. He's an advisor to the National Institutes of Health on organ transplantation, and he's been researching vaccine ethics and public policy for years. And his expertise has been in particularly high demand this past year.
I believe this pandemic has basically been about ethics. It's ethics at the front. It's ideas about liberty, ideas about sharing, ideas about compulsoriness, ideas about who goes first.
Today, I talked to Professor Kaplan about the ethical challenges of vaccine distribution. How do you prioritize the most vulnerable and also get as many people as possible vaccinated safely and ethically? I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent, and this is Coronavirus, Fact versus Fiction. Is it ever okay to quote unquote jump the line? I think I know the answer to this, but I'm really curious how you think about this because, you know, we're in a pandemic. There's a lot of fear and concern out there. There have been people who are called line jumpers because they seemingly took advantage of ways to get the vaccine outside of, you know, the right time frame or in their community. Is it ever okay?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Here's the sometimes no. I bribe my way to the head of the line. I lie my way to the head of the line. You say, do you have asthma? And I say, oh, yeah, I got that. And you're just lying, and you know it, and you're just cutting to the front of the line to make yourself eligible. In other situations, somebody says in the office, and this happened to me personally, I got my second vaccine, and they said, we just opened up a package of Pfizer, and we got 9 more units. Anybody know anyone who can get in here in the next hour? That was a kind of a line jump. It was, you know, call your friends, call somebody you know. It wasn't called the sickest or call people who have chronic conditions. It was just get anybody. So people did call and they came in and they technically weren't eligible and they technically jumped the line. But I think that's morally defensible. I don't want any vaccine tossed out. I don't want any vaccine wasted. Gosh, let's make sure the vaccine goes in somebody's arm.
In a situation where there's tremendous demand and limited supply, it seems like you'd have to anticipate not everyone's going to behave in a high integrity way. There's going to be people who do this. So if you know that that's going to be the case, what is the responsibility of the various agencies to make sure and prevent, you know, line jumping from happening, requesting a doctor's note to show that you have asthma or whatever it may be? I guess it's too simple to ask whose fault is it, but I guess what is the obligation of the people who are actually administering the vaccines?
I guess my answer to you is twofold. Put some penalties on if you really want to stop cheating. And then don't try to fine-tune this more than the system can handle. Just get vaccine out there. trying to allocate by microallocation. Is the UPS guy more important than the grocery store clerk? Is smoking worse than vaping? Whatever these comparative things are. In a mass rollout of vaccines, the vaccinators don't want to be the cops. The vaccinators are busy. You got huge lines of people trying to get in there. Open the doors. Once you get past the highest risk folks, just vaccinate according to age. That's easy to establish. We have IDs. Let's go 60, 50, 40, and then throw it open once you get past the highest age group for risk and keep it simple. Is that fair in terms of who's the least well off all the time? Is that fair in terms of who's poor all the time? Probably not, but if you really look at how the distribution has been, those groups aren't making it in anyway. The wealthy are finding ways to short circuit.
When the CDC and the ACIP, it's called the Immunization Practices Subcommittee, came out after the first vaccine was authorized, and they said healthcare workers and people over a certain age should be first in line for the vaccine. What did you think of that sort of the setting up a tranche like that?
Yeah, I fully agreed with it. I think if we look back, we were in the middle of massive deaths. I mean, exploding deaths all over the country. And the thing to do morally was to stop the deaths. I mean, I think that was priority one. And that led you to the nursing homes and the elderly and the healthcare workforce. However, I didn't anticipate what was going to happen after that. We didn't clearly define healthcare worker. So all of a sudden, the public sees, in your reporting, a board of trustees guy is getting it, and someone who does psychotherapy by Zoom 100 miles away from the hospital is getting vaccinated. There are all kinds of people popping into the picture under the rubric healthcare worker, and that starts to make the public think, wait a minute, this is a little fishy. They're vaccinating their own as opposed to vaccinating according to need or risk. The other thing that happened pretty quickly was people began to say, what if I gave you a donation? What if I spent some money? Will you help me? I don't know that many people yielded to that, but the impression came across pretty quickly. You could buy your way around this.
You know, it's interesting. I remember us having a conversation about organ donation and just looking at, you know, these really scarce resources in our society and trying to determine, you know, who would get an organ or who would benefit from these scarce resources. You've been involved at the federal level, the conversation about who should be prioritized for these vaccines. But I'm just curious, were there some non-tangibles that were fueling those discussions? Because you could say older people are at higher risk of becoming ill, needing hospitalization, and dying. Therefore, they should go first. But then what about race? How much should that fuel those discussions?
Well, one thing you learn quickly from transplant is that if you have a hard time getting into the health system, you don't have a fair shot at getting an organ. Flat out, access to healthcare drives who gets a transplant. Same is true, as it turns out, for vaccination. So if you're poor, you don't have health insurance. If you're poor and you don't have primary care, if you're poor and you don't even trust doctors because no one ever helps you, or when you go to the hospital, you get a hard time at the ER, that drives your access. So if you wanted the big take-home lesson from me, I'd say, until we get everybody into the system, we're always going to have equity issues about rationing organs or vaccines.
Like Professor Kaplan, I do think that the more people who get vaccinated, the more we are going to be able to go back to the activities we enjoy with the people we love. That said, as you figure out the best way to get you and your loved ones vaccinated, keep in mind that some of the current eligibility rules have been designed to vaccinate and protect the most vulnerable among us. Additionally, we have the good fortune of living in a country that has purchased a lot of vaccine doses. And President Joe Biden is pushing states to open eligibility to all U.S. adults by May 1st. And some states are already doing it. So hang in there. And if you do get an opportunity to get the vaccine, think twice if it requires you to misrepresent yourself in any way or potentially disadvantage others. There's a lot of good that we can achieve within the rules, and we're all going to get there sometime soon. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature. Quiets their snores. Sleep Number does that. Sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on Sleep Number limited edition smart beds for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.